We're here at Citizen M. My name is Patrick Deleve. I'm founder and co-founder, you could say, of T&W. Very happy to be here today with my espresso, very important, and also with my guest, Tomer Federman. Tomer, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Can you quickly introduce yourself to our audience online?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Tomer Federman. I'm the CEO of Federman Capital, a new hedge fund focused on investments in blockchain technology and crypto assets that we're about to officially launch soon, with the goal to kind of invest across the entire asset class. I have 15 years of experience in tech, working at both startups and major tech companies. Most recently, I spent the last 3 years at Facebook, where I led product strategy and global growth for some of Facebook's major ad products. I'm based in London, but spent the majority of my career in Israel, where I grew up, and in Silicon Valley, where I got my MBA at Stanford, and then was also an entrepreneur afterwards in another startup incubated by Stanford.
Okay, cool. And so, You're saying you're about to launch a new hedge fund. Can you say anything about that already, or is it undisclosed?
So we're gonna make an announcement soon.
Is that soon in like 3 minutes, or is it like in months?
No. It's not in 3 minutes. Probably like in the next quarter. So you know, early next year. Right now we're talking to a bunch of investors, getting a lot of interest in the fund. Thankfully, you know, there seems to be a lot of kind of interest in our product offering. We're very much focused on, you know, fundamental analysis and looking at things from a tech perspective. I think what we've seen before is a lot of, like, you know, folks who potentially think like crypto is a get-rich-quick scheme. And you know, some folks getting involved without a lot of like tech experience. So I think fortunately, like, investors appreciate what we're offering, and are excited about that. And when I say hedge fund, again, it's going to be investing across the entire asset class, pretty opportunistic approach. You know, from again, like, taking positions in tokens that have already launched, all the way to investing in early stage startups and really helping them and supporting them as they grow.
Okay, cool. And so can you say something about the LPs that you already onboarded, or
yeah,
you don't have to mention names, but more like what type of people are now, or what type of companies and organizations are now investing in these type of hedge funds?
Yeah, so I think what we're seeing is, I'd say, a lot of interest across the board, meaning from, you know, small, like, high net worth individuals all the way to large institutions, but kind of the ones who are willing to commit are more the ones who, like, the high net worth and family offices. I think once you go beyond that, you know, pension funds, endowments, and so forth, like, you see that it's more difficult for them to invest right now, just because I think a lot of the infrastructure isn't there yet, whether it's, you know, custody or some of kind of the banking solutions that are available. And so most of the people who are actually willing to commit are high net worth individuals and family offices.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if we're looking at the crypto asset space, what is it that you're excited about?
Yeah, so I'm mostly excited about infrastructure plays at the moment. I think what we've seen over the past year or so are a lot of exciting DApp, for instance, ideas and kind of consumer-facing ideas of how to leverage blockchain technology to solve problems that exist right now in the market. The problem is the infrastructure just isn't there. And so to me, it kind of often feels like when I look at some of these, you know, DApps that have raised like tens of millions of dollars and have 50 daily users, and the information is public, anyone can see that. The problem is not that they don't have, you know, good ideas, or maybe even, you know, they've executed well. The problem is there's no infrastructure. So it's kind of like you're going to build a house, but there's no roads. You know, there's no running water. There's no schools around. There's no pharmacies. So it's like, it's very difficult to actually live there. And so what we're focused on is actually providing that infrastructure, right? So whether it's, you know, decentralized exchanges, you know, wallets, custody solutions, layer two solutions that will enable better scalability. So these type of solutions, so that we can get to mass adoption and also to consumer-facing, you know, apps in a few years' time.
And since when are you active in this space?
So I've been, you know, I've only left Facebook like a few months ago, but I've been active in crypto as a, you know, on the side, just personally kind of involved, I would say probably over the past 2 years, and gradually getting more and more involved to the point where, you know, I would go back home and just would spend, you know, come back home at like 8 or 9 in the evening from work and would spend hours just, you know, doing research, reading, you know, watching talks online and so forth, to the point where it just became unsustainable. You know, I can't come back home every night at like 9 and then until 3 a.m. just, you know, do that. So I've been, I started about a couple of years ago and gradually became more and more involved to the point where I, yeah, decided to leave my job and start the fund and do it full time.
Okay, so and so you did a lot of research, and I dare to say you're bullish about the market. Otherwise,
right.
You wouldn't start a fund. Right. But can you elaborate on that? What is it that makes you so exciting about the technology?
Yeah, definitely. So I think us as humans, whenever a disruptive new technology comes along, right? If we take the internet for an example, I think most of us, certainly myself included, think how can we make existing things better, right? So for instance, like when the internet came along, it's like, oh, you know, sending an email is probably better than, you know, using a fax machine. What we fail, I think, to kind of often realize is how this new technology is actually going to enable new types of services and products that never existed before, right? So like when the internet came along, we were like, okay, email is better than fax, but like it was very difficult to imagine Uber and, you know, Airbnb and these types of, you know, services, you know, Amazon and where it is right now, right, that affect our daily lives. And so I think with blockchain, we're going to see the same thing, right? The reason I'm so excited about blockchain is because I think the ability for two people to transact with no intermediary, you know, in a trustless way where we don't have to establish trust before, we don't have to sign agreement, we don't have to get a lawyer involved, you know, is revolutionary. And so I think like the types of services and products that this will enable and the opportunities that are going to exist are just limitless. Like it's super exciting. And so for me, what the internet did for information and access to information, blockchain is going to do to value and the exchange of value. And so when you start to think about that, right, and maybe I can buy like 0.005% of a home and have fractional ownership, and tomorrow it's liquid and I can trade that. And I mean, when you start to think about kind of the opportunities this enables, it's super exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, I think that's always a use case that I'm actually also very excited about. If you can have fractional ownership in, say, in real estate, that would change so much of how we're buying houses, how we're selling houses, how we're divorcing, or
hopefully not.
No, but I mean, that is something. But that's also something that needs to be regulated, or at least right now, there's just no way
that
this can happen. Do you see? So, what are your thoughts on regulation on that front? Do you see progression there, or?
I do see progression there, and I think, you know, what some people see as setbacks, for instance, you know, with the SEC getting more and more involved and even like penalizing some companies, I view as progress, right? Because I think I completely agree with what you just said. I think in order to make real progress and kind of get to the next level of adoption and involvement from the bigger institutions, you have to have regulation. The whole idea of, you know, we'll get the JP Morgans of the world involved in this space, but there's not going to really be a regulation, and this is going to be like anti-government, and, you know, this type, that's never going to work in my mind. And I think, you know, smart regulation and regulation that's, you know, not too stifling is actually a good thing. And I think we've seen over the past year what happens when there's no regulation, there are no clear rules, retail investors can invest in scam ICOs. So yeah, I see a lot of progress. And listen, like when you see, you know, Goldman Sachs setting up a Bitcoin trading desk, Fidelity entering the market, you know, the Yale Endowment announcing they're investing into crypto, I think we see a lot of progress.
So to come back to your previous point, like blockchain is if I understand correctly, you're basically saying we need a new way of thinking about the possibilities. And obviously not enough people have put their brains towards this.
Yes.
These new opportunities. So you're expecting basically that we're going to see so many new things that nobody have ever thought about. That will have impact on the way we live, the way we do business, the
exactly.
way we transact, right?
Exactly. So I think it's a combination of two things. A, there's things that clearly can be better, right? As someone who, you know, lived abroad and still am living abroad for many years, I know how difficult it is to move money from one country to the other, especially if we're dealing with different currencies.
Yes, and that's a use case that everybody is always
So that's an obvious.
Yeah, kinda. Obvious.
But then on top of that, yes, I think there's going to be a ton of new services and products that just don't exist right now.
And you have put many thoughts in this, so. Can you enlighten us a little bit? Like say, you know, at home there are some people watching. They're like, you know, I just quit my job or I just sold my company. What am I going to do next? So
right.
Where do they have to put their brain power to?
You mean if they want to enter the space, the crypto space? That's a tough question. I mean, it varies so much between one person and the other. And often I get this question, you know, what should I do? And, you know, should I do this or should I do that? And I tend to think it's so individual.
Okay, so let me rephrase the
okay.
question then, because that's too general.
Yeah.
You decided to start a hedge fund, right? But you could also, you could have also decided to work on just one project.
Yes.
And you it probably crossed your mind.
It did.
Okay, so
I
what
was very
that?
Close to doing
what
that.
What was that?
Okay, thanks for clarifying. So for me, there were three reasons why I decided to leave, Facebook and start the fund. And by the way, like Facebook is an amazing company to work at, and I don't have any bad word to say about it. But the reasons I left are A, because I'm so passionate about the technology, as I said, but B, because I'm so passionate about it and I think it's going to be so transformative, I was very close to actually starting a company and, you know, build a new product, which is what I do and have been doing for the past 15 years. But because I believe in it so much, I didn't want to go into one niche and kind of spend the next few years just focusing on one niche. I think blockchain technology is going to have an impact, you know, across the board. And so I prefer to take a step back and be an investor, but then like see, you know, the progress and the innovation that's going to happen across various verticals. And see, I think just, you know, from an investor's perspective, if you have the right kind of investment framework and you have the tech experience and you've done this before in tech companies, and then I think potentially, you know, there are major opportunities that are going to exist for investors. So that was kind of my rationale, but again, obviously it varies.
But you haven't really answered my question. What was the project that you that you wanted to or thought about doing?
So I had several ideas. The one I came closest to starting and actually was pretty close to was in the custody space. I think that custody right now obviously is broken, and I mean custody of crypto assets. The fact that, you know, if you lose your private key, you're doomed. Right, like that makes no sense, and the fact that you have to trust, like, you know, banks aren't going to solve that because banks move slowly, and frankly, it's also probably not top of their priority. Right, the market still isn't at the point where, you know, it's like the number one thing a bank should do, and so I think custody is a big opportunity. By the way, I think banking is a big opportunity as well. If you run a crypto company, you know, it's very difficult to actually open a bank account. I mean, for instance, here in the UK, I don't think any bank would work with a crypto.
No, but that comes with regulation, right? As
yeah.
soon as it's regulated, then we can expect that.
Yeah, but that's where innovation can come in, right? That's where you can start companies and work with the regulators to kind of solve for some of these problems. I mean, custody is also a regulatory problem in a way, but I think there's a lot you can do even before you hit that wall.
And when looking at the current market, the market this year, so basically, you know, you're starting a fund in the year that is the most bearish year since since the history of
good timing.
Good timing. Well, it could actually be very good timing.
Well, I'm certainly glad I didn't start it a year ago. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, true. So, but Can you say something about what are your? I think you have strong opinions about Bitcoin, for instance. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of misconception in the market with regards to Bitcoin specifically. I don't think it's. I'm not super bullish about Bitcoin at all.
Why not?
Yeah, there's several reasons for that. First of all, Bitcoin is a headless organization. There's no leader for Bitcoin, and I actually don't.
Satoshi?
Yeah. I wish we. I mean, he sounds like an amazing leader.
I think he has a lot of. he has a lot of similarities with Mark Zuckerberg, maybe.
Yeah. Well, Mark Zuckerberg is pretty out there. I don't know, Satoshi.
No leadership. Yeah.
Yeah. So no leadership. I don't buy into the proof of work consensus algorithm. I think it's super wasteful in terms of, you know, energy consumption. I much prefer, you know, more efficient consensus algorithms like proof of stake. And we see now Ethereum kind of walking towards migrating to that. So I don't like that as well. I think Bitcoin actually, the market cap and the value of it is like extremely high. It's at around like 100 billion. I mean, Facebook is 500 billion and they have like, you know, more than 2 billion users on a monthly basis. Like, very few people actually own Bitcoin right now, certainly in the Western world. And so for it to, like, what's going to happen, you know, when people actually going to start using Bitcoin? I mean, is it going to be like 5-10x out of that? I mean, it's going to be like the most valuable thing in the world. Maybe it will happen. I just think there's much better opportunities moving forward. And so for me, you know, it's kind of like Bitcoin has done an amazing job getting us here. Certainly the Satoshi, you know, Nakamoto white paper enabled the kind of innovation that we see right now. But, you know, first mover advantage doesn't necessarily last long, right? And so, like, we remember the Yahoos and the AOLs, and I remember Alta Vista being, like, the number one search engine. I think there's more compelling opportunities.
How do you think we can get trust back into the, basically, into the sector? I mean, there's a lot of distrust,
yeah,
and for good reason.
For good reason.
But I think, well, one of the things is probably we need to get that back. So how do you think, can we get that back? And how do you think companies or should be organized, as you're saying, like, if apparently they need to have a leader.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't invest. But how do we get the trust back?
Yeah, so I think one of the key things that kind of hurt the market quite a bit is public ICOs, right? And kind of retail investors investing, turns out it's a scam, you lost all your money. Or maybe it's not a scam, it's never going to work. And so, you know, the token is like down 90% or so, right? And you have that grandma sitting in, you know, somewhere in a rural area and invested like 10,000 of, you know, of her money. I never heard these stories, and now it's worth, you know, like $500. So I think one of the key things is also what we're seeing right now, which is if you have a good startup, you actually, you know, more like, I guess, traditional route of VC funding, where you kind of approach the funds, you try to raise money through private sales. The hurdle there is much higher than, you know, when you just release a video to the world and, you know, do a public ICO and go to retail investors. Not to say that there can't be scams, but I think it's much more difficult, right, from what we see from. And so I think that having that filter is actually going to be very valuable moving forward. And we already see that. We see high quality projects that are valued much lower than what they were, you know, only a few months ago. And they're not doing public ICO because they're worried about regulation. So in my mind, it's a more sensible way to funding, and it's regulation. And I think regulation is needed. Regulation clarity is definitely needed. Right now, it's not clear what is a security, what isn't a security, you know, what you can and cannot do. We start to see the SEC getting involved and a lot of speculation about what they're going to do next, but nobody really knows. So I think you know, progress on these fronts is going to be helpful. And I think custody and banking, as I said earlier, are also really important to kind of getting the institutional capital inflow.
So you touched on two misconceptions in your view. One was basically the Bitcoin. You're saying basically it's overvalued for
well, I don't know if it's overvalued. I'm saying there are much better, there are, in my mind, there are, you know, many more compelling investment opportunities than I think for Bitcoin to do 10x from where it is right now, it's going to get to like $1 trillion valuation. I mean, that's a lot. And I think we're seeing a lot of projects which I think can do, you know, can grow significantly.
Okay, so that's one. I think the other one you were mentioning was on the regulation side. So you're pro regulation. I mean, I think nowadays, I don't know if that's a misconception. I think that's kind of like the general thought nowadays. I mean, it's the only way.
Yeah.
And are there any other?
Yeah, there are many. There are many. One thing I kind of see a lot is what I call decentralization mania. Well, you know, when I talk to entrepreneurs, each one of them tries to prove that they're more decentralized than the previous one. And, you know, I'll tell you a secret. I think, like, centralization in certain aspects of a company, not just leadership, are important. For instance, when I was working on, you know, the product side, I think there's a lot of benefit to having the entire team in the same location. And having these casual, you know, hallway conversation with designers and research and engineers and product, right? If, you know, you sit in the US and I sit in, you know, the UK and our lead engineer sits in South America, like, we have to schedule meetings for all of that. We work at different times. Like, that's very difficult, I think, to kind of make, you know, efficient progress. So I always also recommend teams, like, if they can, to work out of the same location or same, you know, multiple locations, but not be decentralized all over. And I also think it's really important for investors in the space to have tech experience and to have done that before. And we see a lot of investors who, you know, worked in financial services before and haven't really put product roadmaps in place, haven't really, you know, worked with engineers much. I think to kind of avoid the crash that we see right now, where people invested a lot of money into things that not necessarily are going to work, it's important to have that experience as well.
And in your view, I mean, so I think a year ago, blockchain and crypto were positioned kind of like as a new island. You know, you had tech companies and you had blockchain and crypto companies, and they were kind of like, you know, we're on our own island and we're creating our own new economy and we're all trying to get rich or whatever it was. But I think now it's more it's more realistic to say, or it's actually a question that I have, isn't it just a new technology that we can leverage that opens up a lot of new opportunities with new business models?
I think so.
It is so basically a tech.
I think it's web. Tech. It's web 3.0, right? It's like the next generation of the web, right? But it's not an island. And in fact, if it is, we should start building bridges to kind of bridge that gap, right? And kind of get more towards, you know, how do we bridge the gaps and leverage a lot of the best practices that we've learned from the excellent companies that have been built in tech over the past 15, 20 years. We don't need to reinvent the wheel in every single thing. I think decentralization at the protocol and product level is amazing, and I think it's going to foster a ton of innovation. But I think you're right. It's the next generation of the web. It's not an island completely separate than what we've seen before.
So if it was an island and we bring in the Dutch and then the water, we just put the water between the island and the mainland, we're just going to create dikes,
know?
And then we're going to create new
Dutch
land.
Dutch companies event. I mean, that's why we're here.
Okay. Let me see how much time we have left. Can anybody tell me? Yeah? What does that mean? Okay, is there any point you want to make today? Do you want to say hi to your to your mother or?
I always want to say hi to my mother. I mean, that's super important, you know. My mother is Jewish, and you know, Jewish mothers, like, you gotta say
hi to the mother.
She calls
Tomer.
Me 4 times a day.
4 times, know? Really?
Yeah, even now. Did you eat? Did you? You know, that's. So,
and how can blockchain technology help you with that?
Well, I'll tell you what. The day my mother uses blockchain technology and it's easy, right, because she uses her iPad every day. But, you know, using MetaMask and going to buy Bitcoin, that's way too complicated. The day she uses it is the day where I know we've made, you know, significant progress and we'll get there.
So your mother is going to use crypto.
For me, that's the barometer, right? That's how I that's how I know we made the ultimate. Yeah,
but you need to invest before that, right?
That's true. That's what we're doing. What we're doing right now. Yeah.
And one last question, maybe. How did you come up with the name for your fund?
It was just like what I realized is in this space, I think like it's all about the people and it's all about building trust and kind of, you know, leveraging your experience and building relationships. So, yeah, I guess it wasn't super innovative on my part. I just, you know, didn't give it too much thought, actually. Yeah, just went kind of with my last name.
Does it have anything to do with your mother, maybe?
No, that one doesn't. No, not really.
So you were trying to come up with a name. You were looking for, is the .com still available? And you came up with Fetterman Capital.
Unfortunately, I think Dutch Capital was already taken. Yeah, so that was the second best thing. Yeah.
Perfect. And are you working with, do you have a team around you? Or
we have a small team. Okay. And I expect to grow the team soon once we kind of finalize the initial round of funding that we're about to wrap up.
So the initial round of funding, is that going to be 10 million, 20, 100 more?
Range? I mean, we're aiming to get to like 50 in the first year.
Okay.
In terms of AUM. Yeah.
And you are already looking at companies, probably?
Yeah, I'm talking to a lot of people in the space.
And how can people reach you?
Yeah, so Twitter, and there's also an email address on our website, federman.capital. So there's like a public email there that you can, or LinkedIn.
Okay, and what's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, Tomer Federman.
Tomer Federman. At Tomer Federman, I'm at Patrick. It was good having you, and see you soon at the next Fireside Chat here at Hard Fork Decentralized. Thank you.